This is probably going to be your worst nightmare. You've got a Texan that speaks at the speed of slow, and I'm the only thing between you and lunch. Okay, so, and you know, when Milton was talking about getting genotyped, I got to thinking, then Mark ends, I could be the reference sire for redneck. I am double R, okay? I was a reproductive physiologist, then I stepped over to the dark side, okay? I'm not a meat scientist. I'm not an animal breeder. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not smart enough. I'm a bureaucrat, and right now I manage egos of about 25 faculty. I live in a household of three women. I've got twin daughters. I'm used to having my butt chewed out regularly, okay? If you don't like anything I'm about to say, you blame Jack Whittier. He's the one that invited me to do this, okay? So let's get that straight. The weather outside, in case you're wondering, with the wind chill is minus 19. When I get back to the panhandle tomorrow, on Friday, it's going to be minus 19. So I went north to get in the cold. I'm going south to be back in the cold. The university I'm at is located in the Texas Panhandle. On a normal year, which we have not had since I've moved back there in 2009, there's around 6 or 7 million head of cattle on feed within an hour and a half of me. There's about 8 million harvested within an hour and a half of me. Okay, we have the majority of the fed cattle in the United States right outside my door. It is flat, except for the Paladura Canyon, and it's not. So the part of Texas I live in, we get cows, we don't get tourists. Okay, that's further south. I'll give you a little bit of background on cloning history. You guys all remember in 96, the Roslin Institute cloned a sheep and they named her Dolly. Does anybody know why she was named Dolly? I'll buy you a drink. The tissue they cloned her out of came from mammary gland. Get it? Dolly Parton, Dolly the sheep. Okay? You won't remember anything, but you'll remember that. Okay, that was in 96. My twin daughters were born in 96. I superovulated my wife. That may be my only claim to fame as a reproductive physiologist. She had some fertility problems. We went to a fertility clinic, and they said, well, you got to do this and that. I said, all right, well, this is what you need to buy. I said, I get it. You don't talk down to me. And I said, how much does it cost? He said, $3,000. The other thing I want to apologize, I'll probably cuss at some point during this talk, so forgive me. I said, hell, I'm not going to spend $3,000. So guess what Dean did? I lived in Las Cruces. I went to Juarez. I went to Pharmacia. Man, $500, I'm golden. I will warn you, though, superovulating your wife, you don't have a head shoot. There's no squeeze shoot. And after about the fifth day of getting two shots a day in her butt, I was not popular. But I am a 200% AI sire, okay? Let's go back a little bit further. That's when it hit the news. In 86, embryonic cell nuclear transfer was going on in sheep. Mammals were being cloned from embryonic cells. George Seidel was splitting embryos with a razor blade, producing clones. Back before that, in 52, frogs were cloned. In 28, actually, the first nuclear transfers had been performed. And way back in 1903, the term cloned was used. And actually, back in the 1800s, the first clones were produced from blastomere transfers. Okay, so it's new to us, but scientists have been piddling with this for a while. This is how it works. Cow on the left, whatever animal. Right now, they've cloned horses, deer, cattle, on and on and on. Dogs, Korea's got that. If you got your favorite dog, you got to get it cloned in Korea. Take a needle biopsy. Okay, so I'm on the left. Cell culture those somatic cells. Fibroblasts is what they are. On the right, we've got another female that's going to donate an oocyte. So I'm going down. We're going to select a donor cell. On the right side, we're going to pull the nucleus, enucleation. So we just have, if you want to think of it as a chicken egg, we're taking all the stuff out except the shell. We're going to transfer the donor cell into the donor oocyte, zap them with electricity, a process called electroporation, fuse the cells. They're going to get cultured in vitro, and then we're going to put them in a recipient cow, and we're going to have a carbon copy of the black cow up on top. So let me think of it this way. It is a twin separated by time. My daughters are redhead and blonde. They're not identical. They were born on the same day. This is a clone, which is a mirror image. Okay, it's important. The other thing, these have not been genetically modified. We haven't done anything. We've just recreated them. All right, since I am in South Dakota, and this is the saddle bronc riding capital of the world, right? You guys, come on. You got a Texan up here challenging you. All right. You ever heard of a bucking horse, a gelding, named Go Wild? Go Wild was a world champion bucking horse. Problem was, he was a gelding. Huevos no mas. Those are clones of Go Wild. I don't know which one's which, but their names are Go Straight, Go Left, and Go Right. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Go Straight, Go Left, and Go Right. Huevos mas. Okay, so we got, this is just because I'm here and I got the podium. It has nothing to do with the Beef Cow Symposium other than it's cool. The mare on the right is a bucking mare that produced one called Spring Fling. You ever heard of her? Yeah, okay. Spring Rose is on the right. Chloe is the mare on the left. Chloe is a clone of Spring Fling. Spring Fling lived, she was 20-some-odd years old. She's probably still alive. She carried pregnancy to about 120-130 days and dump them. They never could get her bred. Okay, so let's back up. I'll make sure you guys get this. A clone of Go Wild, Huevos no mas, Huevos mas, Spring Fling. Anybody from Spearfish, South Dakota, in the audience? Does anybody know who the guy on the right is? He's a South Dakota native. He lives in my part of the world now. Anybody ever heard of Clint Johnson? Four-time world champion saddle bronc rider. He is holding Go Straight. Okay, he's part of this project. I'm not part of it. I just think it's cool. That is the offspring of the Go Wild clone bred to the Spring Fling clone. And I don't know what they're going to call that. But what I'm telling you is, all of you that interact with saddle bronc riders, you better tell them to get ready. That's an endangered species. It couldn't have happened. It's out of the cloning technology. So that's the power of it. This is a quote I use every time I talk. And Jonathan Swift was an author. I've never read any books. He wrote Gulliver's Travel. He was born in 1646 and died sometime in the 1700s. Vision is the art of seeing things invisible, okay? We focus on what we can see, what we can touch. What about the stuff that we can't? All right, this is the team. And again, I'm a mental midget. I stay out of the way the best I can. On the left is a veterinary named Greg Vinnicklausen. Greg Vinnicklausen has ADD to a different level than I've ever seen. He wears Hawaiian shirts, and today, throughout this blizzard, he will be at his vet clinic injecting horses or going to the national finals, cloning and doing stuff in a Hawaiian shirt, regardless of the temperature. Ty Lawrence is our meat scientist. We refer to Ty in the Texas Panhandle as a hummingbird on crack. This dude is amped up. He's in charge of a group we call the Beef Carcass Research Center. If you have ever collected carcass data, if you've ever used a drug that carcass data was collected on, Ty Lawrence and his crew did that. They go all over the United States, Canada, Mexico. It's like a rapid response team. A couple of years ago, they hit 500,000 head. I don't know what they're at now. They collect data at chain speed in every packing plant in the United States. Any drug that you have applied or used, he did the final third-party verification on the carcass traits, the liver abscesses, or the lung lesion scores on it. I'm in the middle. The kid in the blue shirt is a PhD student. My boss, Don Topliff, is there. And like every other bureaucrat, when some good news happens and there's a camera, he shows up. So he's there. The guy on the right, on the far left, the cowboy, is anybody ever? There used to be a show on RFD called The Helicopter Horseman. Probably don't remember that. His name is Jason Abraham. Jason Abraham went to Clarendon College, got a degree in ranch and feedlot operations, is dyslexic and a multimillionaire and a helicopter pilot, and has set up his own cloning lab. Okay? And he is one of, he may be the brightest person I've ever been around. So that's the crew that did this. Our goal, we decided we wanted to find out what was best. And if I were to ask you guys what vehicle you like the best, you'd give me a different answer. If I were to ask you what cows you like the best, you'd give me a different answer. But if we were to go into the locker plan, into a slaughter plan, and look at carcasses, what would be the best carcass? Prime yield grade one. You agree with me on that? All right. So we decided, Ty called me at night. It was at 10:30, and I never get a good phone call from a faculty member at 10:30 at night. He said, every now and then we come across these carcasses that are prime yield grade one. He said, you're friends with Vinniclausen and Abraham, and he said, why don't we clone one? Okay, it's at 10:30 at night. I'm thinking, the wheels have come off of something. So my immediate response was, no. He said, what? And I said, well, if we're going to clone, we're going to clone a steer, and we're going to clone a heifer. Okay, a steer and a heifer. And he said, okay, so we started the project in about 2010 that I'm going to talk you through. I think you heard this yesterday from Dr. Blair. The incidence of prime in today's kill is about 2.85%. Lots of marbling. We refer to it as taste fat. Okay. The incidence of yield grade one is about 12.1%. Muscle, but not much of the waist fat. So we got taste fat, waist fat. These are antagonistic. This don't go together. To get those two combinations doesn't happen very often. In fact, it happens at the rate of 0.03%. If you don't like percents, put two more zeros behind that decimal. So it is a rarity. We've tried to get away from calling them genetic freaks, but they are odd. If this was a, this curtain was a normal distribution curve, okay, we're right here, this would be average. Me personally, I'm below average. Way down here is my brother, who's a PhD, way below average. He's not here, I can say that. These clones that we're talking about producing, they're over here. Does that help? They don't occur very often. So this is the part where it's going to get a little creepy to some of you. So Ty goes throughout these packing plants in the United States. If he finds a carcass that is prime, that fits that prime yield grade one, we take a couple of tissue samples from it. Okay, this is the creepy part. These things have been dead for up to 7 days. They've been railed off. We send part of the sample off to commercially available DNA labs to look for traits that we're interested in, growth, quality, palatability. Okay, so the prime yield grade one by itself happens about 1 in 3,333. When we do this DNA, we're at 1 in 15,000. All right. The other sample goes to a company in Texas called Biogen, and they try to get cells to grow. Now, instead of this black cow on the left, it's a carcass hanging upside down that we've sampled. That's the creepy part. This is what we've done. Okay, this was the carcass. It was a steer carcass. Hog carcass weight was 782 pounds. 12th rib fat was 0.44. Ribeye area is 15.9. Yield grade 1.9. It graded prime. It was 51% black. This is what the DNA data told us. It was in, I have to read down here. It was in the top 10 percentile for feed efficiency, the top 30 for marbling, the top 6 for tenderness, and the top 8 for palatability. You want to know what it looked like? We didn't have a clue. Boom, there you go. He actually isn't so bad. We've named him Alpha, and I'll tell you, I wanted to call him Jesus, but that was not PC in the university world, so he's Alpha. Alpha is now 15 or 16 months old. He is in Shamrock, Texas. We're collecting semen on him. He is 86% Angus and 14% some kind of Zebu. That's all we know. Okay? But it was pretty cool because we didn't know. I mean, he was hanging upside down. We knew he was black, but we didn't know anything else. All right, these are the ones that get me excited. Now, I am a recovering livestock judge. My dad was a judging coach. I put on the college judging contest at San Antonio. I like stuff to look good. But also realize that numbers outweigh looks sometime. Okay, this heifer, her heart carcass weight was 708. Her 12th rib fat was 0.16. Ribeye area was 15.5. Yield grade was a 1.03. She was prime, and she was also 51% black. Her genetic data was even better than Alpha. She is in the top 30 percentile for feed efficiency, the top 5 for marbling, the top 30 for tenderness, and the top 6 for palatability. Okay? That's her. She's not real pretty, but her carcass was unbelievable. We got 3 of them. They weren't all born the same day, but we've got 3 clones, 3 heifers. All right, this is the next one. My guys, we set up some cows. They actually pulled cedars on Monday. They're putting they're cloning right now in Jason's lab in Canadian. We'll have embryos going in soon. This is the ones that are really off the charts. So Ty refers to them as distribution shifters. Now, we don't know if we're going to create a prime yield grade 1 herd. We're a long way off. But what if we move the slot, the CAB slot, say, choice 3s? What if we make them choice 2s? What if we make them high choice 2s? Just move it a little bit. Move it from here to like right here. So our overall goal, I guess, I don't know that we're actually after developing a new breed of cattle. We started with the end point and went backwards. My analogy would, it would be like, so we're coming up on the Winter Olympics. You guys remember several years ago there was a big controversy about some of the bobsled teams. There's some technology that they were using and some stealing. And well, what if you could find the fastest bobsled and go backwards and recreate it? This has been a great opportunity for us to teach kids a lot of stuff. And that's what we do at the university. The 3 heifers you see there in front of you and Alpha, our plan for those heifers is probably April or May. We'll superovulate them. We'll put Alpha semen in, flush embryos out, put them in recips. We have no clue what his birth weight is, nor do I care at this point. Okay, that doesn't fit with you guys, I understand. But we are trying to see if we can use the technologies available to change the end product. With that, I'm done. We can eat. Thank you, guys.